So first off, thank you very much for taking the time.
My pleasure.
This interview. I know you're probably exhausted. That's how tours go, running around like crazy.
You know, the last couple of days have been a little hectic, I must admit. I don't want to complain because I'm lucky to be able to do something like this, but it has, the last 2 days have been crazy.
So when you're the leader, I guess you can't complain as much as your side guys.
They can complain as much as they want. They have to put up with me, playing with me, so they...
Oh, I'm sure that's not that painful.
Oh, they're great... Great players and great listeners when they play, and they're also great people, so it's a real treat for me to be on the road with them, play music with them.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this project came to be?
Well, I've had the same quartet now for about 6 or 7 years, and it's been with Mike Murley and Terry Clark and Andrew Downing, and we've been playing all my original music, and we did a CD, and we recorded a CD in 2003 called Intersection, and now we just did this one last year and released it this year. It's called 40 Revolutions, and it's a group I love playing with, and Mike couldn't do the tour, so I got a good friend and great trumpet player in Kevin Turcotte, so I'm a happy man.
Yeah, we've just heard his concert here, and it sounded fabulous. This might sound actually like a weird question considering what we just heard, but why Kevin Turcotte? How did that
happen? There he is.
As
there
he walks goes. Into the room.
Kevin is, like I said, a wonderful trumpet player, and he has the same sensibilities as somebody like Mike Murley in that the way he listens and interacts, he has very fast musical reflexes. And it's a joy for me to play with him, and above all that, he's a great person. So it's a treat.
So for you, would you say that the relationships and rapport that you have with your people are as important or almost as important as their musicianship for you?
Well, when you're on the road, it's very important that you're with good people, because you're, you know, like we haven't slept too much in the last two nights now, and I would say that you know, your mood can change in those situations, but when you're with people who are patient with you and good on the road, that makes it a plus, and that translates on the bandstand. And the fact that you can laugh together really translates, and we do have some laughs in the van or in the plane. So
yeah, you said you were on the stage. You guys were listening to comedians, and on the way here,
exactly, we listened to George Carlin and Stephen Wright, and you know. Sometimes we watch Curb Your Enthusiasm or something like that, and have a few laughs, and I think it does translate into a positive feeling.
In terms of material for this group and this tour, it's all your originals.
Yeah.
Where do you get most of your inspiration from? Tell us a little bit about your process. How do you come up with your tunes?
Well, it's an interesting thing. I mean, I've been writing now since I was about 16 or 17, and I'm 40 now. It's 40 revolutions around the sun.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been writing and I just can't help it, I guess. I pick up the guitar or sit at the piano, and maybe I'm practicing something, but eventually I start noodling, and it turns into a tune. So sometimes there's no inspiration. Sometimes it's just music itself is an inspiration. To be able to play music is an inspiration. So, but there are occasionally events and people that inspire tunes, like Sophia's song on the CD is dedicated to my 2-year-old daughter, and I did think of her as I was writing it, but not initially. I was just writing, and then I did think of her. I thought it had some of her life energy, and then I completed it while thinking of her and her energy.
Neat.
Yeah, and there were other songs. I mean, I wrote one dedicated to Joni Mitchell, who I'm a big fan of.
Have you heard the new album yet?
Yeah, Shine. I've got it. Heard it many times already. Huge fan.
Definitely don't limit your influences to coming from jazz. You listen to a lot of other styles.
Absolutely.
You can bring all of that.
I would say I listen more to other kinds of music than to jazz. I've spent a lot of time, you know, learning other people's solos, like Wes Montgomery and Miles Davis and Bill Evans and people like that. Yeah, I've spent a lot of time listening to jazz, but now I would say I listen mainly to contemporary classical music. And you know, I'm trying to write more. I wrote a string quartet last year.
Neat.
And that's something I want to continue doing, is writing, composing, and even if I'm not involved in playing in the group, it's exciting for me to hear my composition being played. So that's something I'd like to continue and explore. So I can see myself doing that in the future. So listening to people like Stravinsky and he's not contemporary now, so that's that's 20th century music. We're already in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. But there are composers that I do like, and hopefully I can study with one of them that I really like, named Peter Lieberson.
After the first tune in the first set, you played five tunes that flowed together.
Yes, yes.
How did you conceive of that? Was that your original idea?
Well, on the CD, I decided to put the songs together that way. Like, if you listen to it from beginning to end, there's no break in the middle. And then I thought, at the CD release I did about 3 weeks ago in Toronto, I decided that I wanted to recreate that on the live gig. So we had the little instrumental breaks in between.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone gets featured a little bit, and that's nice. I think it's a nice thing for us to do, and it gives the audience a break too from having to applaud. I think this gives it a more chamber music kind of vibe.
On a tangent a little bit away from this project, tell us just a little bit about studying with Jim Hall.
Jim Hall is a wonderful musician and guitarist, and to get the opportunity, for me it was a dream come true, because when I was a teenager I listened to records like The Bridge with Sonny Rollins, and even before that I listened to the Bill Evans and Jim Hall record. I always get the titles confused. There's Intermodulation and the other one with, that's the one with My Funny Valentine, I think. I always get them confused. Undercurrent is Undercurrent is the one with My Funny Valentine, so that's the one I had. And I thought they must have rehearsed so much to be able to interact like that. They must have practiced that. But of course they didn't. They're just, the antenna are up, and they just respond, that helped me later on when I started playing duos and things with Mike Murley to be able to respond and interact that way and play perfect counterpoint together. You know, that's what I was striving for, and Jim Hall and Bill Evans certainly do that. Later on, I got to meet him one night, and I was looking for someone to study with in New York, and I applied for a Canada Council grant, so thanks to the Canada Council, otherwise my dreams wouldn't have come true. And I got a grant and went down to New York a few times actually, to study with him. I stay in touch with him occasionally, and he's a great, great person, and great composer, and he's an inspiration as a composer as well. His album Textures, that Terry Clark happens to be on, is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. What were your thoughts on playing in Brandon this evening? You seemed to have a really receptive audience tonight.
It was, and Kevin said it at the end of the concert, he said it was the best audience we've had on the tour so far. So look out Winnipeg and Edmonton, you still got a chance, but it was really great. Everyone was fabulous, and it's nice to get some energy from an audience too, because that's what happens. You feel like they're listening and paying attention, and that makes you want to stretch further, or just focuses you on the music.
So what's next? After this tour ends, what do you foresee in your future? More work with this group, some other groups?
Well, I actually have a concert I'm doing it in Toronto at the Glenn Gould Studio with a string quartet. They're going to play the string quartet I wrote last year. And I'm actually finishing a piece, hopefully before the concert, that I'll be playing with them. And that'll be a first. So hopefully things like that, more chamber kind of stuff. And to continue writing and playing, I like to do both.